This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. BOGO is back for 1 week only. Buy one and get one of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm free. Order at EdenPureDeals.com, code word Howie BOGO, and have no regrets. With 5 locations in 4 states, it's convenient and easy to get the hair you deserve. 2 locations are in Massachusetts, with 1 each in New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. Take advantage of DiStefano Hair Restoration's unbeatable pricing and world-famous results now. Dr. Chris.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I can't believe it's already the 2 o'clock hour on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Thank you all so much for joining us. And thank you so much to all the callers today, doing a great job of bringing up a lot of interesting topics. And we are not done yet. In this next hour, I have a puff piece from the Washington Post. I have some sound from Biden's stop in Florida, which I definitely think is worth playing. If Howie's listening and he thought that he was going to get all of this without me even going near it, wrong. I got to play some of it. And I want to talk a little bit about Twitter, because Twitter, we've talked a little bit about this $8 situation, $8 a month. And there's some updates on that for you. But first, I want to go to the callers here, because I know there's a lot of elections that or a lot of campaigns that people are watching, a lot of races people have their eye on. So let's go to Bill, your first up in the 2 o'clock hour. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Grace, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I have noticed over the years that there seems to be more and more each year a distancing of the candidates on both sides of the aisle from identifying with their party. And I'm referring to both campaign signs that you see, and which, you know, that's nothing real new. But lately, and maybe I just haven't noticed, but I get mailers now from candidates, and there's no identity on there whatsoever about what party they're with. I certainly understand the Democrats not wanting to show their party affiliation, but couldn't we or shouldn't we be able to, well, I mean, if we can't do it for debates, but make it at least a requirement that you identify what party you're with?
Yeah, I don't mind when a party is pointed out when, you know, you're talking about this and how sometimes on the little door knockers you get, you don't see it. I notice it more in the media. When there's a story about a politician doing something wrong, if it's a Republican, it's right in the headline. You know, Republican, if they're a Trump supporter, especially, it's Trump supporter got caught doing, I don't know why I'm saying it now in a Donald Trump voice, Trump supporter. But if it's a Democrat, you got to scroll all the way down to the 25th paragraph. So I definitely notice this as well. I think it's probably a strategy thing for certain people, depending on what state they're in and whether or not they think that the baggage that comes with their party, whatever that perceived baggage is going to hurt their chances. Maybe that's why they distance themselves from it. But I agree with you. I'd love to know what party people are with. I think that's kind of a basic thing. I notice that, too, if I look up like certain cities, you know, and they're having a big crime problem and I look up the mayor of that city, I notice that it's very hard for me to figure out what party. And I could always assume it's a Democrat, but I like to just double check. That also, I tend to be going to page 2, page 3 of Google. It's just a trend I'm noticing.
Or it could be that they are running as a Democrat, as the guy that killed Tim Herman.
That was one of my favorite cases of semantic gymnastics, is when they said, yeah, he ran as a Democrat. Okay. And then did he switch parties, or did he win as a different party?
He was a Democrat running as a Democrat.
Yeah, they love to mix that kind of stuff in. Tom, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, elderly Tom. I'm in Connecticut. Communist regime under former governor, soon to be Dan Lamont. I wanted to compliment you, Grace, on picking up on Brett Baer and Martha McCallum on Fox. totally useless. They should have. They also, when they moderated a town hall meeting, they should have had either Jesse Waters, Greg Gutfeld, I'm confused because I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, anyway, no problem, Tom. I get what you're going in for.
Okay, I'm going to let you go.
Well, thank you, Tom. I do appreciate it. I think that probably that has to do with, like, Tim Ryan wouldn't legitimize sitting on a stage with Greg Gutfeld or Jesse Waters. Like, there has to be something. They must go over that before. They'll say, listen, I'll agree to do a town hall, but it has to be with people I know won't push back too hard. And again, I really like Martha McCallum, especially. I think she does a really good job. And it's probably trickier in the moment when you're trying to get through the town hall, I'm sure. I don't know all the details that go into it. But it was very hard for me not to notice that right there when he said Brian Sicknick died in the Capitol on January 6th. That, for me, is like someone's in your ear, right, saying you can push back on that. You know, you can correct him on that. Because that's just a lie. And it's a lie that has been able to be repeated. You know, when Republicans say things that are considered not true or debunked, it's thrown in our faces over and over and over again. It actually becomes like names. Like you question the 2020 election, it becomes the big lie. Well, what's that? Lying about how Brian Sicknick died. He did die, but he died of a stroke. Is that a big lie? I guess a big lie is in the eye of the beholder, but I consider that a big lie. And yeah, I find myself disappointed a lot by Republican commentators and, you know, these hosts. And I think it's because they don't play the same game as liberals, you know? Even here's an example. Neil Cavuto had on someone from the Biden administration. I have no idea who it was. And just one of the, you know, several hundred hacks that are employed there. And I told you guys this the other day. I said, one of my pet peeves is when people in the Biden administration try to pull this thing. It's like the 25-year-old woman who ends up with a 99-year-old guy, like the 99-year-old billionaire, and they say, oh, you know, I'm the one who I have to try to keep up with him because he moves so quick. That's what they're all trying to do with Joe Biden. Like, oh, no, he wears us all out. He has so much energy. And I just sometimes wish someone would say, come on, like, come on, man. Are you being serious? But the person who Neil Cavuto was interviewing, I think it was Neil Cavuto, said, well, you know, he's smarter than both of us. And Neil said, well, I'm sure he's smarter than me. Like, he was trying to be self-deprecating. And I think that that's kind of a problem, is that these conservative commentators are too nice. Whereas I sometimes wish they could be a little bit more, what's the word I'm trying to think of, Jared? A little bit more ruthless. Like, you look at Chuck Todd, you look at all of these, you look at Dana Bash and all these people on NBC, ABC, CNN. I mean, they don't do that. They don't put on this like veil of being nice just because it's a person from the opposite party. They don't waste an opportunity to make Republicans look stupid or to call out a Republican lie. And I think that Republican commentators, let's face it, that's what they are. They can say they're down the middle, but we all know that Fox is right-leaning. I think they should do the same thing. Because no one's hearing about this, except for on like a handful of shows, they're hearing about this. But when you have the person in a town hall, don't waste the opportunity. All right, I wanted to give you guys a quick update on Twitter. I have very good news, Jared. Do you have any sound we could play? What about like celebrate good times? Okay, I should have told you that before. Because now I'm going
to say your sound related to.
Yeah, and I'm kind of giving it away.
Play the thing.
But you'll understand why I want this sound when I tell you this news. So there's been rumblings on Twitter because people are very upset because Elon. What do we decide on? It's Elon Stalin, right? Elon Stalin is taking over. He's already taken over Twitter, and people are melting down. And I want to tell people something about this. And I'm telling this to conservatives too, you're not going to like everything Elon Musk is going to do. Okay? You're just not. Like, he has this board that he's doing for the misinformation, and people are already complaining that it's all Democrats. And he said, listen, I want it to be made up of both sides. And he's trying to find people. People already are on him about everything. You're not going to like everything he has to do. But I will tell you this. The man responds to criticism very quickly, and he seems to have an open mind to people's critiques of him. And I think that that is very rare, especially nowadays, to find someone with a lot of humility, who's very intelligent, who seems to listen to what other people are saying. And he gets plenty of criticism and he seems to take it. So I just want to tell everyone that. Like, I know you're not going to like everything he does. I'm not going to like everything he does. But take a deep breath, because at least he seems willing to hear people out. With that being said, he floated this idea of $8 a month to keep your Twitter badge. And this has led to a meltdown from the beautiful people. And I didn't melt down, but I was a little bit like, you know. Originally, it was $20. I was like, that does not sound like something I want to pay for. But since then, I've kind of come around to it. And here's why. One, as Elon Musk said, you get what you pay for. And two, I would love for these journalists who claim they're going to leave the platform to not only not leave the platform, but to pay Elon Musk to stay there. I think that that, for me, is worth the price of admission. To see these losers who are obsessed with their blue check mark. I know, it's pretty ironic for me to say that. But I would say it makes up a huge part of their personality. I would love to see them not only stay, but cough up some change to stay there. Because then you lose all credibility. Then you can't complain. And I have good news, though, because not all blue check marks are going to stay. In fact, we have our first, well, I guess Howard Dean was our first person who left. We'll have to check on that and see if he's actually left yet. This is like waiting for Cher to move to Jupiter. You keep checking in and she hasn't gotten on the rocket ship yet. We're going to keep checking in on Howard Dean. But then we had some celebrities, using air quotes, who left. I didn't know any of them. But then again, maybe I just don't keep up with the times. Maybe there were big celebrities I had just never heard of. And now I have another person. Another one bites the dust. Jennifer Rubin. She's hitting the road. That's right, everybody.
Have we done a wellness check on Run Clean?
Say goodbye to Jennifer Rubin's Twitter. At Rubin, at J Rubin Blogger, is going away. Yeah, you're right, Ron Klain. This is a devastating blow to Ron Klain. Who is he going to retweet now? Ron Klain's like, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah, so Jennifer Rubin wrote, let me put it this way. I will leave Twitter rather than pay Musk a single dime for anything. No! No, please. Please don't leave. Don't leave me. Don't leave me, Jennifer.
At least we still have Taylor Lorenz.
Well, I got another funny one for you. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman from the Bronx, she did not say she's going to leave. She has not gone that far yet. She has not made that jump. But she did tweet out, LMAO at a billionaire earnestly trying to sell people on the idea that free speech is actually an $8 a month subscription plan. Now, there's so many flaws in this tweet. Still got almost 300,000 likes because people are stupid. But the biggest flaw is he's not saying you'll have to pay to use Twitter. He's saying you'll have to pay, last time I checked, to have a verification checkpoint. Or blue check, whatever
yeah,
it's called.
Yeah, it's basically a subscription tier, and you get more than your current just blue check mark.
And last time I checked, Jared.
Yes.
Verification badges are not considered free speech.
That like, does sound correct.
In the First Amendment, is there anything about a blue check mark?
No, I think it's just muskets.
So it's like, what are we even talking about? You know what I mean?
She has no idea what she's talking about.
She says free speech is actually an $8 a month subscription plan. No one's saying you have to pay $8. You just won't have a blue check mark. And if you don't care about the blue check mark, then congrats. You just saved $8 a month. But like otherwise, what's your point? You'll still have the freedom to speak and you'll have the freedom to tweet. You just won't be tweeting with the blue check.
She's like somebody fed outrage as a concept into an AI machine Venn diagram. And it spit out Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's just words.
It's just, I love seeing when people respond back because it's like, it's fun to watch. It's really fun to watch all the responses. I wanted to tell you guys about Omaha Steaks because Omaha Steaks are just, they're the best, Jared. Do you agree? I mean, the bacon wrap filet, the chicken, the sausages, the hamburgers, you can't beat it.
I actually had the ribeye the other night. Such a solid meal.
Oh, so delicious.
And it's a ribeye, so it's marbled. Even the marbling on the ribeye, sometimes it can be hard. This was soft. It was buttery. It was glorious. There was nothing left on that plate after that ribeye.
Yeah, and right now it's fall. You don't want to be going out to the grocery store. You want to have everything ready to go, and it's a great time to stock up. And with these packages, Jared, that you can get for 50% off on the semi-annual sale, you are stocking up. You're getting a lot of product and a lot of good quality product.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Components of these packages, the entire package costs less than those components would if you bought them at a supermarket and would not be as great quality, as anybody who's bought meat at the supermarket knows.
Absolutely. And this sale only happens twice a year, 50% off. If you use code GRACE at checkout, you'll get an additional $30 off. Minimum order may be required. But don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter GRACE at checkout. Stock up on these fall flavors, try it out, and then tell me what you think. Because I've been getting a lot of people who have been telling me they love this. They're so happy they did it. They ordered again. But if you've been wanting to like dip your toe in this and just try it, now's the time. It's a 50% off semi-annual sale. So don't wait on this and use code GRACE at checkout for that extra $30 off. That's omahasteaks.com, code GRACE at checkout. Minimum order may be required. We will take your calls when we come back. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. The show that doesn't take itself too seriously.
I have a joke for you.
Okay.
The government in this town is excellent and uses your tax dollars efficiently.
It's the Grace Curley Show.
Not a joke.
Listen up, everybody. Now is your chance to win. We're giving away an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack every Friday in November during Police Blotter Facts Friday. To enter, sign up for the mailing list at gracecurlyshow.com. Do that now so you can win. I'll be announcing the winner on Police Blotter Facts Friday on Friday. So just go to gracecurlyshow.com to enter. Let's go to John. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Grace. I just had a thought that, you know, maybe since these celebrities and these blue check marks, as they leave Twitter, maybe we could suck up their handles so they can't come back. Like maybe I can be the Jay Rubin and then, you know, put things out on the new Jay Rubin. How are they going to come back? What are they going to come back as?
Right. It's like a house auction on a foreclosure or something like that.
Yeah, guys, here's the thing. I don't think they're ever going to leave. This really does remind me of 2016 with all of these celebrities telling us, I'm moving to Canada, I'm moving to Mexico, I'm moving to Italy. And guess what? They all stuck around for 4 years. They all stuck around for 4 years and kept talking about Donald Trump. And every time I'd see them, I'd say, hold on a second. Zoom in on the background. It looks like they're still in the United States. What gives? And again, these people are full of empty promises. Howard Dean in April was like, hello, Twitterverse, literally penning this long draft of telling people how he's leaving. Hello, Twitterverse, I'm taking a break. He's like an influencer who's going off of social media for a week and thinks everyone needs to know about it as if anyone cares. And then you fast forward to last week and guess who's writing, hello, Twitterverse, again, Howard Dean. Retiring for the second time. He's the Brett Favre or the Tom Brady of Twitter. It's like, no, dude, you get one announcement where you get to retire. And then I'm not listening anymore. Not that I was even really listening the first time, but you catch my drift. Simon, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Simon.
Thanks, Grace. Nice job today. We're having that same problem like Caroline Colarusso was saying. That guy, Bob Burns, has been trying to get a debate
yes.
with Annie Custer, and they've been dodging him. And he's a fantastic candidate. I was happy to hear him on Howie yesterday.
He did a great job with Howie.
Yeah, and I hope you guys can get him on again. He's a great America, New Hampshire first candidate. He wants to bring back the medicines here.
It shouldn't be that complicated that candidates should debate. It should be, you kind of expect it at this point. 844-500-4242. I have a really funny update, too, on this whole Twitter saga. Elon Musk is taking over Twitter, and now there's this new thing. You know how there used to be, like, fact checkers who would say, well, this tweet isn't true. Now they have this new thing. It's called readers adding context that they thought people might want to know. And a lot of readers added context to a fake news tweet from the White House. And then the White House deleted it. So again, I'm liking what Elon Musk is doing so far. We'll take the rest of your questions. I'm going to read a puff piece from the Washington Post. And we're going to play some Biden sound all when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
All right, things are really falling into our lap today because we are just about to talk about this Social Security tweet by the White House, and now Karine Jean-Pierre has actually, she's actually commented on it. But before we play KJP.
Commented on it is a bit strong, but she was at least asked about it.
Oh, did she appreciate the question? That's always my first thought. As long as I know she appreciates a question, whether or not I get an answer from her does not matter. I just want to know that she understands why the press had to ask that question and that she appreciates it.
She disagrees with the characterization of that question.
But she understands why they have to ask. Okay, but before we get into that, let's explain what happened here. So the White House puts out a tweet. The White House verified account for now. I don't know if they're going to cough up the $8 a month going forward. But actually, yeah, they will. It'll be our $8 a month, so who cares? They'll probably be willing to pay double. It says seniors are getting the biggest increase in their Social Security checks in 10 years through President Biden's leadership. Now, the Democrats have really been pouncing and seizing and weaponizing and hammering and milking this Social Security issue. And in fact, they've used it in a lot of races to try to demonize the Republican candidates, including Caroline Leavitt in New Hampshire, Don Bolduc. Those are just two that are coming to mind for me. And it doesn't matter how much the Republicans counter that argument. It just sticks that you're against Social Security. You're going to try to get it taken away. So the White House is trying to benefit from this narrative by looking like they're doing such a great job with Social Security. So they put out this tweet that seniors are getting the biggest increase in their Social Security in 10 years because of why? Because of President Biden's leadership. Now, this new feature that happened to come into play once Elon Musk took over is called readers added context that they thought people might want to know. This isn't a fact check. This is just people adding some context. I would actually consider this to be like the top three responses. You know, when you look at a response on a tweet and you think, please tell me I'm not the only one who realizes how stupid this tweet is. And then like the number one comment underneath makes a lot of sense. That is kind of what this little bubble is. So the bubble underneath says, seniors will receive a large Social Security benefit increase due to the annual cost of living adjustment, which is based on the inflation rate. President Nixon in 1972 signed into law automatic benefit adjustments tied to the consumer price index. I'm going to translate that for people. This has nothing to do. Actually, no, I wouldn't say that. I guess technically you could say, yeah. This has a lot to do with President Biden's leadership, because if it weren't for President Biden's leadership, inflation wouldn't be at a 40-year high, and then these automatic adjustments to Social Security would not happen. If the economy wasn't in such a bad situation because of Joe Biden's policies and because of Joe Biden's moronic ideas, then, yeah, people wouldn't be getting their biggest increase in 10 years. So technically, fact check, kind of true. But let's listen to what Karine Jean-Pierre had to say.
Thanks, Karine. The White House removed a tweet that talked about the increase in Social Security benefits in 2023 through President Biden's leadership. There was a contextual note, I'm not sure what the proper terminology is for the platform, that was added to that. Was it removed because of the addition of the note, or was it removed because of the concern about the veracity of the message?
So it was, look, the tweet was not complete. Usually when we put out a tweet, we posted with context, and it did not have that context. So in the past, we've pointed out that for the first time in over a decade, seniors' Medicare premiums will decrease even as their Social Security checks increase. That's a little bit of context that was not included. This means that seniors will have a chance to get ahead of inflation due to the rare combination of rising benefits and falling premiums. And let's not forget, as you've been hearing me say for the past few minutes, about MAGA Republicans in Congress and their continued threat to threaten Social Security and Medicare, proposing proposing to them on the proposing to put them on the chopping blocks every 5 years, threatening benefits and to change eligibility. So
those
are the types of context that would normally be with a tweet like that. It did not have that context. It was an incomplete tweet, as I just mentioned, and so that's why you saw the digital team take that action.
I'm sorry, I drifted off there for a second. She keeps talking about how it didn't have context. Actually, this new feature supplied the perfect amount of context.
It precisely explained why there was no context.
Yeah.
The tweet was incomplete.
Context makes your tweet seem stupid, and that's why you deleted it. I mean, once in a while, I know we can't expect them to be truthful about anything, but I sometimes feel like when she's putting together a word salad that even halfway through, she kind of gives up on it, too.
She was dancing like a spider on a hot plate on that one.
I was just, by midway, she lost me. It's like, you put up a tweet. I'm sorry, nobody's deleting tweets because they're not complete. You're either deleting a tweet because you have a spelling error or because you're going to get in trouble at your job for the tweet. You're not deleting tweets because, well, we forgot to add the Medicare and Medicaid and all these other elements. No. No, come on, KJP. Come on. Well, that's good. So Elon Musk at it again. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit here before we play these Joe Biden sound cuts, which I promise we are going to play. I wanted to tell you, now this is some bad news for gaffable, affable Joe Biden. The president of the United States, I keep talking about how I'm very much looking forward to 6 days from now. If the Democrats, if things go the way we think they might go, and the Democrats get wiped out in the midterms, I am absolutely delighted at the thought that the media is going to turn on Joe Biden. And you might say to yourself, well, they already kind of have. They can do a lot better. And they will once they get the green light. Once they know there's a plan B, once they know that it's over for Joe, they are going to really, really destroy this man. And it's going to be great to watch because no one deserves it more than Joe. So we're already seeing the rumblings of it. We're already seeing the beginning of the end for Joe. And I have a new thing to add in here. You've heard of, here are what we have so far. When it comes to, like, I like to call this my thesaurus for lying. Instead of saying Joe Biden is lying, they like to come up with all these other euphemisms for lying, and I have a bunch of them here for you, okay? So far we have spins yarn that eventually unravels, shaves the factual edges off of statements, embellishes narratives, stretches the truth, folksiness that veers into folklore. I don't even know how you'd use that one in a sentence, but that's neither here nor there. Well, we've got another one, and this is from the New York Times. Biden verbally fumbles twice during campaign trip in Florida. Now, I'll tell you the two fumbles that the New York Times is talking about. They say his misstatements have become more pronounced. Oh, no, you know what? Actually, here we go. It says the president confused the American war in Iraq with the Russian war in Ukraine and then misstated how his son Beau died. So let's hear the confusion about Iraq versus Russia, Ukraine. This is Cut 12.
Inflation is a worldwide problem right now. Because of a war in Iraq and the impact on oil and what Russia's doing. The war in Ukraine.
I'll be real with you. He caught that a lot faster than I thought he would. I wouldn't have been surprised if he rolled right through that.
I'm sure somebody was in his ear. Ukraine! Ukraine! Ukraine!
I know, but I'm starting to think that the earpiece thing couldn't even be possible. Because if you ever had someone speak in your ear, it can really throw you off. I think that would make
him... But he's off to begin with.
But I think that would make him... I think it would make things so much worse. So I'm surprised he caught that. But this is what the New York Times said. They said, Mr. Biden, who at 79 is the oldest president in American history, right there from the New York Times, that is not good, has a long record of gaffes. Ooh, I don't like that either. A long record of gaffes, by the way, that's code for a long record of lying and plagiarism. But hey, I'm not going to be too picky here. Dating back to when he was a young man. But his misstatements... lies have become more pronounced and more noticed now that he has the spotlight of the presidency constantly on him. I would argue it's not constantly on him. It was constantly on Donald Trump. The guy sneezed and we heard about it. With Biden, not so much. I don't see him out and about as much as I did Donald Trump. While Mr. Biden has said he intends to run for a second term, his age ranked at the top of the list for Democratic voters who told pollsters that they want the party to find an alternate, an, an, an alternative, excuse me. To which Joe Biden replied, check the polls, Jack. So that's from the New York Times. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, Grace, that sounds pretty bad. That sounds like that might spell out some trouble for Joe Biden. I've got one that's way worse. This is by George F. Will. Ready for this? This is from the Washington Post. For the good of the country, Biden and Harris should bow out of the 2024 election. Now, anyone who listens to this show knows that I am Harris 2024. In fact, I'm leaning towards Harris Cheney 2024. So the thought that George F. Will would have the audacity to call for Kamala Harris to bow out is ridiculous to me. It is her time. 2024 is the year of Kamala Harris. But I'll hear him out. I'll explain his reasoning. I'm just going to read a couple lines from this piece. I included it in Grace's recommended reading. So if you want to read the whole thing, you can check it out there. An Everest of evidence shows that Vice President Harris is starkly unqualified to be considered as Joe Biden's successor. The Boulder. Meeting recently with some progressive activists, Biden said his $426 billion student loan forgiveness was accomplished by a law that he had, quote, just signed, end quote. I got it passed by a vote or two. No, he did not. Biden was not merely, again, embellishing his achievements. This is not just another example of one of his verbal fender benders. There is no less than dismaying explanation for his complete confusion. What vote? Who voted? It is frightening that Biden does not know or remember what he recently did regarding an immensely important policy. Now, we played that quote on the show. I think it was during his interview with Dylan Mulvaney, where he said, yeah, we passed it in Congress. They passed it. There was never a vote on it. That's actually the reason that it's having trouble now in court is because they didn't pass it. It says he must be presumed susceptible to future episodes of similar bewilderment. He should leave the public stage on January 20th, 2025. So should his vice president. Thomas R. Marshall, Woodrow Wilson's vice president, joked that once there were two brothers, one ran away to sea, the other was elected vice president of the United States, and nothing was heard of either of them again. Kamala Harris has been heard from sufficiently. Now, he goes into a lot of her best quotes. He says transcripts of her verbal meanderings cannot convey their eerie strangeness. And he does a lot of the ones that we love on this show, just her word salads about space and electric buses and all that good stuff. He says, regarding Biden and Harris, the National Democratic Party faces two tests of stewardship. Biden is not just past his prime. Even adequacy is in his past. And this is Harris's prime. How scary is that? This is her prime right now. In 2024, the Republican Party might present the nation with a presidential nominee whose unfitness has been demonstrated. Of course, he's alluding to Trump there. After next Tuesday's sobering election results, Democrats should resolve not to insult and imperil the nation by doing likewise. So this is from the Washington Post saying Joe Biden has got to get out of there and Kamala Harris is not going to be the backup.
I see the Washington Post has joined all the pollsters and shilling for the GOP now.
Yeah, right. And all these terms they use, like these meanderings, this bewilderment, all of these euphemisms, it's just he's just lying. I just want to really emphasize that. He's lying about things. Here's a perfect example. This was in Florida. He claims he went to Delaware State. Okay, this is cut seven.
It's great to be at Florida Memorial University, one of the nation's great HBCUs. I'm a big fan of HBCUs. I got my start at one of those other HBCUs, Delaware State University. Okay, that's pretty good, man. Anyway.
So.
That is false.
Jared, care to explain this to the listeners? What's wrong with that statement?
Well, there was a lot wrong with that statement. But the main crux of the statement that's wrong is that he did not, in fact, go to Delaware State, a historically black college university. As he claims.
Can I get a fact check? And the fact checkers went silent. Let's also have cut eight, because I do love how no matter how confused Joe Biden gets, his ego is still there, man. He's consistently arrogant no matter what. This is cut eight.
I know I don't look it, but I served 36 years in the Congress.
You don't. You know what? I'll give him that. Sure. I'm not going to be mean today. Sure. You don't look it. Why not? And can I also have, I love an angry Joe. I love a Joe who's yelling. It's usually about the McDonald's internet connection, but yesterday it was about something different. Can I have cut 22?
Talk about being deprived of your dignity. Look at your child.
Oh.
You could have permanent damage or die without access.
Why are you yelling at me? Why? It's always yelling at me.
Why are you yelling at me?
You know, it's like, dude, why are you so... We should be yelling at you. And you're always yelling at us. Can I get one more? I'd love to get... I think that cut 26 was about Rick Scott. And he has this expression. I'm not familiar with it. Maybe some of our Southern listeners can help us out. This is cut 26.
A senator from Florida going after Medicare and Social Security? I tell you what, I don't know where, as they say, the Southern doesn't know where y'all been. Hot damn, boy. I tell you, look...
I don't know where they're saying this, but
that a nutmeg! Come back in here! I can't do this myself. Voodamama juju.
It's like molasses rolling out of your mouth. So what was that expression? He said, "I don't know what y'all say in the South. Where y'all been? Damn boy, did I get it right?
God damn boy.
God damn boy.
Yes, in as a substitute for GD in an accent."
Oh, boy.
God damn, boy.
He's a man of many talents. 844-500-4242. So, yeah, you can hear the footsteps here. You can, you know, the media is getting the hook ready. They're just, they're measuring it out, trying to figure out how they're going to get the hook around him.
This here is Savannah.
And then they're going to pull him off the stage. It's going to happen in 6 days, everybody. I can't wait. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Fall is the perfect time to stock up when you take advantage of the 50% off site-wide semi-annual sale at Omaha Steaks. And plus, you'll get $30 off your order at omahasteaks.com. When you use code GRACE at checkout, minimum order may be required. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Whose appearance will move the needle more for Kathy Hochul in New York? Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris?
I'm going to say Hillary Clinton.
Hillary is polling at 79%, 21% for Kamala Harris.
All right, Howie Carr, analysts are moving 10 House races in favor of GOP candidates with just less than a week until the midterms. What's your take?
I think the bottom is falling out of the
I like the
Democrat
of
narrative. And I think that the return of Dark Brandon should be yet another nail in the coffin tonight at 7 p.m.,
I know. I had a caller who said, what is the motive here? I mean, who is this supposed to be for? Another speech on democracy? I don't know if they're going to bring out the red light again, but do they really think this is the move?
Is it, maybe he's going to address the danger of illegal alien crime in the United States or gay nudists who are married to imprisoned pedophiles who are stalking 14-year-old boys and are addicted to hard drugs committing crimes against Democrats.
Howie,
how about that?
I wouldn't.
The speech will deal with any of those issues.
Howie, I'm going to give you some advice here. I would not hold your breath.
It's all about round-the-clock sex.
Because I'd be worried about you if you did. All right, everyone. Howie's got a great show planned. He's got plenty of Biden to get through, and he's going to give you all the updates on the midterms. Don't go anywhere. Howie Carr is coming up next.